Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, ready your ears, Thomas, because I'm going to ask a rather convoluted question for you. Have you ever become friends with an ex's new partner?
An ex's new partner.
So you've broken up with someone and you're on, let's assume you're on good terms with them. That doesn't happen to me, so I can't relate. But let's imagine that you're still on good terms with them and they start seeing someone new.
Yes, my knee-jerk reaction was, no, of course not. Why would you want to be friends with an ex? But I realized it was a high school girlfriend. Clearly we broke up and I went to her wedding. To a new man. No him, no her, fine, happy.
Was there ever any part where you were like...
No.
Not even a protective, I don't think they're right, or yes, they are?
No, they were, it was one of those dorky, obviously cute, like cute dorky couples that, that made sense and... No animosity, whatever that word is, and it was all good. So yes, I have managed to be friends with an ex's partner.
See, look, my issue is that I'm not really friends with any of my exes. So this whole world of being friends with exes and being friends with exes' new partners is totally, totally foreign.
I would assume that you're in the majority there. I think most people like to say. Can we still be friends?
Let's be friends.
But I think in general, most people will fall apart or drift away from exes.
And like I've formed an understanding with exes' new partners where they initially hated me, but then, you know, now we're like, we don't mind each other. We're not friends though. I'd never text her or call her or be like, oh my God, let's hang out. Unlike the guest that we have today. I'm Liz Best. Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Yes, it's all happening, and I'm Tom Harris. Thank you for coming along.
And the guests that we have today are Carly and Michelle. Yes, welcome. Okay. Carly's a returning guest.
Hi, friends.
Michelle is brand new.
Hello.
Now, the reason why I have brought them on this little podcast is because Michelle used to be married to Jared. Now Carly is married to Jared.
Correct.
And these two are besties. And I think it's fucking weird.
It's a good phrase, fucking weird. I think most readers at home will be going, what? She married to him, but no longer, but now she married it. And they're friends.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. You two are friends.
Honestly, that is the reaction that we get a lot where people go, especially people who were friends with Jared and Michelle when they were Jared and Michelle. And it's now Jared and Carly, and these people meet me and they see that I'm friends with Michelle on Facebook and we're posting photos and they're like, how does that work?
What the fuck?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do today was kind of chat through the beginning of the end of your relationship and the beginning of your relationship and your initial thoughts of each other and how we got from that's my current boyfriend's ex-wife to that's the godmother of my children.
Yeah.
Because that's where we've ended up, right?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Wouldn't want it any other way.
No. That's really cute and gross.
It's very cute. It's really quite incredible.
See, it doesn't feel special to us.
But in this sort of societal way of looking at things, it's quite incredible.
Especially, like, I get that some... like men might be friends with, you know, be like, oh yeah, I date it. But women are taught by society to be catty towards the people that their partners have dated. There's this animosity that's kind of built into society for women already, and then you add that you've dated the same person, then there's something that gets really catty about that. What I'll do first is we'll go through the rules. I don't think a few of them apply to you because we're not using any why can't I remember the word? That's the word I can't remember. It just went out of my brain. I was like, nom de plume? I'm like, no, that's written. So the first is that we use aliases, but we're not doing that today because Jared is very well aware that you both are in here today. The other one is if you've worked out who they're talking about, don't tell anyone, but we're being open about that again today.
Absolutely.
And the last rule is no threats on mic. And look, to be honest, if you want to threaten your husband or your ex, that's your funeral.
but really, we're not really here for threats and pitchforks and all that. It's more kumbaya and all that.
It really is, isn't it?
Gross.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I've been the friend the whole time that's been, it's fucking weird. It's fucking weird to Carly. And she's like, it's not, it's not.
It's only
and then
the
I met you and
year,
I was like, well, she's fucking delightful. Oh, so that's, I get it now, but I still think it's weird.
It is for a lot of people.
Look,
absolutely.
I imagine that. Okay, so look, let's situate this towards the... So first of all, how long were you and Jared together?
We met in 2007
mm-hmm.
and we met on...
A dating app that won't be named.
What was it called? Oh, yeah.
Do you want to bleep that out or are you okay with it being heard whispered?
Whispered is fine.
Okay.
So this dating app was back in the day where... There wasn't any instant messaging.
Right.
It was you send an email
and yeah.
you wait until the next day and then you get excited. And so Jared messaged me and the first thing that he said is, hi, my name is Jared. First of all, I think you're absolutely beautiful. And so being a woman, I'm like, okay.
Well, thank you.
I'm with Anne.
Oh,
the thing with Jared is he absolutely would have meant that too.
Oh, he's literally the most genuine person and he will never say anything that he wouldn't mean. And that's like in total honesty. And even if it hurts your feelings, you know, it comes from a place of love.
Because sometimes to his detriment.
He doesn't want to lie. He doesn't want to, you know, make you feel good for the sake of not hurting your feelings. But yeah, totally genuine guy. So everything happened very, very quickly with Jared. Mm-hmm. I was 26. He was 23, just turning 24.
Just about to finish his degree.
Just about to finish his uni degree.
Like
so
a month off finishing.
He was very, very, very determined.
Right.
And he was very protective of his time. So he had priorities. Mm-hmm. So school was his priority, which was fantastic.
Mm.
Which, you know, I was all like a little bit pouty about it because I'm like, oh, I'm smitten with this man, you know.
Pay attention to me.
Yeah. I was like, I need your attention.
Like, no, I need to get my degree.
Pretty much. And at that time he was in a duo. So he is a musician and he absolutely loves his music. So he would pick me up Friday night, Saturday night, and I would just go to every single gig.
Right.
Yep. And so fast forward, we ended up moving in together because I needed to move out of where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a place and he ended up getting a full-time job, which he hated.
Yeah.
Absolutely hated. And it broke my heart because he wasn't happy.
Mm.
And I was working where I work now for 16 years and I just said to him, do you know what, babe, do your passion. If you want to be a musician full time, because he discussed it with me, he was like, what do you think about this? What do you think if I quit this and did this full time? I said, well, I've got the stable job. I've been in this job for years. You go pursue what you want to do because I want you to be happy.
Gorgeous.
Because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Good on you for saying that.
You know, he still credits you with his successful career today.
Oh,
yeah.
Stop. This is true.
It was like, if it wasn't for Michelle saying, I believe in you, you can do this, he wouldn't have the music career that he does today.
I was like, me, I'm happy to do what
I'm
doing.
He'll be still selling paint at an unnamed paint store.
Or the courier company.
Oh, yeah.
So he, very intelligent man. So he's got his degree, marketing, all that sort of thing. And a musician and a very talented musician as well. So he had all of these things going for him to be successful and very, very determined. So off he went. He marketed himself. I went to almost every single gig that he had and yeah, everything was like fine for a while, like a very long time.
Mm.
We were trying to, not at that point in time, we ended up getting engaged and then we got married in 2012, July. And we wanted to have a family. But I had all these health issues.
Right.
That was preventing me from doing that. And we paid all this money to be told that I was infertile, basically.
That's fucking awful. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, and he always wanted to be a dad.
Yeah.
Because he's got pretty amazing parents that are just completely in love, and his dad always had the time for him. No matter how busy his dad was, he would come home and play with Jared and spend time with Nikki and, you know, all that sort of thing. So that was really beautiful. And I wanted that. But being told that and spending all this money, it was just like, it's pointless. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't want to go through the IVF route. I just accepted that it wasn't meant to be. So that put a little bit of a strain on our relationship.
Of course.
Obviously. So, you know, he started to, you know, throw himself more into work. And I kind of just accepted that. So along the way, we just kind of started to become like distance and more like best friends, basically.
Yeah, sure.
So it kind of got to the point where I had all these visions of what I wanted in a relationship, and because he was a musician and worked on the weekends and all that sort of thing, like at that time I felt like I was missing out
on a
partner.
Yeah. You know, because the weekend is a crucial time to spend with a partner, I feel. Like when you're working Monday to Friday, like, and you don't have that non-traditional schedule like a musician, you actually want to spend the weekend with your partner, and then that's when they go to work.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of me like waiting around and being patient. And I mean, he never denied me anything, like money-wise. The only thing that was kind of missing was the time. But he always tried to make the best effort that he could. If I wanted to go to the beach on the weekend, he would be like, okay, well, I've got a gig, I'll get home at 1 o'clock, wake me up at 11, and then we'll go. So he did try. And
so so you're both putting in effort from separate paths. So there's no, it's not like you're not working, like neither of you, like, well, one of you isn't working on it or trying to make it happen. It's just you're just like, hey, we're over here. Like,
ships in the night.
Yeah, and it's a bit, it's just odd.
We really did try. We really did try. And
he would sit and watch maths with you on like a Tuesday night, and he'd be like, ugh.
Yeah,
but he would do it because he wanted to spend that time with you.
Good. That's exactly right. And, you know, he was such a beautiful, affectionate man. Like, he was very accommodating to, like, my emotional needs, which
there are a lot of.
There's lots. There's lots of.
You're emo, but I love you.
Yeah, I'm a Pisces. Don't hold it against me.
Oh, God, I dated a Pisces. No, thank you.
Yeah, don't. Do not recommend. So kind of eventually it got to the point where all this distance was just creating issues, and so we were starting to get a little bit angry and resentful.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Like, something has to give in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Because you're both not meeting each other's needs, but you're trying, but in the wrong areas for each other.
And we were married.
Yeah.
And it never occurred to me that I would ever break up with him. It would just be, just get through it, because that's what marriage is. You do your level best. And so when I decided it was time for me to leave, it was the hardest decision that I ever had to make, because I've got this beautiful man that would do anything for me, except I didn't have a lot of the time from him. And he is an amazing provider. Amazing. Like, he's very like fiscally responsible. I would write him a list and he would get it done. Like, he's a list person. So if I said you'd need to do these 10 tasks, he would just put headphones on and he'd just do it. Back then, it was, I think, 2018, 2019. In my mind, I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I was doing the right thing. You know what? This isn't working for me anymore. And I created a lot of distance. And so he noticed that. And I don't remember this, but, you know, Jared said that he came up to me and said, Do you want to break up? And I said yes. I don't remember that.
Right.
And One of the hardest things is seeing the look on his face. I'll never forget it, ever.
I've said it a million times over and I will continue saying it till the day I die. I think it's harder to break up with someone who genuinely loves you than it is to be dumped.
Breaking up with or divorcing a decent man who's a, like who cares for you and is responsible and like a big shopping list of good qualities. It's easier to sort of break up with a fucking nightmare of a person. You can run away, get out of my life.
You think that, but it's actually still not easy to break up with a nightmare. Easy. Like it's seeing the look on their little faces.
Like. Oh, I broke the man's heart. Yeah. And so I think the reality came down to I found a place to live.
Yep.
I found a room in this beautiful house, share housing with great people. And Jared said to me, when you left, I realized that all I wanted to do was come home to you. And I was like,
oh God.
And it broke my heart.
Yeah,
and
he says shit like that.
Oh God. And, you know, it changed him. And I believe that experience made him a better man for Carly.
Right.
And a better father.
Right.
Thanks. So we continued to hang out.
Yeah, okay, so this is the part that I find weird.
Yeah.
Continuing to hang out with somebody who still has feelings for you, because and he obviously would have still had feelings for you when you first broke up. And how do you navigate that?
And can I clarify hanging out? Are you in physical proximity or is it texting? What is hanging out?
Monday.
Seeing each other
a lot? Yeah, so it was like hanging out physically, but nothing romantic.
Oh, no, I did. I wasn't. Yeah.
But they had a standing one night a week, you guys have dinner, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we would hang out all the time. Mm. So
we went to Tasmania holiday as friends after you'd separated.
No, I don't get that.
So we had a beautiful time down there and, you know, he wasn't shy about saying, you're my wife, I want to get you back.
Right.
I didn't really know what to say to that because I've already crushed this man. You know, he already
checked out.
Yeah, he had like all these hopes and I was just, you know, I was thinking about the future and what kind of relationship I could go into next. And yeah, so all of that was done and he'd come over for a swim. When I moved to a new place, we would have Mondate, which was every Monday he would come over and I would cook him dinner.
Okay.
And then I would put some aside for Carly. And be like, you can take that home.
So that was, okay, so we need to take a little step back for a bit. Okay, so you guys have broken up. You're still hanging out. Carly comes on the scene. How did you come on the scene? How did the meeting happen? What happened?
Jared hired me as a singer.
So he was your boss. That's inappropriate.
Technically, sure. Yeah. But it's, look, self-managed small business. Okay, so no judgment. Okay.
It's the music business, KB. It's all on.
Industry. Everyone's doing everyone. So December 2020, we met. Mm-hmm. My marriage was... You know the story, Liz. Yep. I've told the story here on the pod before. Yep. Go listen to that episode.
We'll put it in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to a bit of Carly 101.
Actually, I don't know if I've actually discussed that particular...
Oh, maybe not.
I did in the Carly and the engagement rings.
Yes, because, no, this is the Carly of the many engagement rings. I can't get one. She's had four. Yep. It's fine.
You're welcome. No. So I met Jared and we became friends and my marriage ended and we essentially bonded over our mutual failed marriages. Mm. So
misery loves company.
Pretty much. Mm. So in the February of 2020, no, sorry, December 2019, I met him. So February 2020, we started dating and then the world went to shit.
Yes, it did.
And so... One of the first things Jared said to me, he was like, look, I'm really happy with this relationship, but I have a wonderful friendship with my ex-wife and maintaining that friendship is really important to me and I would really like it if you were okay with that.
Gut reaction. What was your gut reaction to that?
Fine.
Really? I don't fucking get you people.
I had just finished a relationship with one of my a musical with one of my exes.
Yeah.
So I'm the kind of person that I've – like you said before, people who have had a relationship and had really bad breakups because the person's next partner hates the thought of you. I've had both. I've got exes who I'm really good friends with their new wife or new partner, and I've got exes who no longer speak to me because their new partner said, don't you dare ever text that person again. Mm. So there's both sides, but I for the most part, still speak to most of my long-term exes.
But there wasn't any part of you that went, that would be difficult to have her in our lives?
No, not at all. Because I think it was the way that Jared spoke about Michelle that made me think that he has a deep respect for this woman, and if I were to interfere with that, that might affect how our relationship develops. Mm. And I'm like, I have no reason to dislike this woman. Their marriage ended. Okay, no big deal.
What about you? How did you feel when Carly came along, and how did he – I love that both of you start giggling. How did he tell you that he had started seeing someone, and how did you deal with that about face from I want to get you back to I'm seeing someone?
So I mistakenly thought that Jared knew who Carly was.
Right.
And I don't know where I got that idea from, but I thought that she already knew him. So I was like
– Like for years.
Yeah. I don't know where I got that idea from. And he's like, I don't know her at all. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever. And so I had a little bit of an attitude around that because I genuinely thought because of the music industry and like everything around that, that everybody just knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody knew who I was. You know, that's Michelle, Jared's wife. Like I'd go to gigs and they'd, you know, want to talk to me and sit with me. And I'd sometimes bring a book. So people wouldn't talk to me.
Gig coach said, please fuck off.
Yeah, because I was there to see him, you know what I mean? So when he told me that he had hired her, like I was all for that, like good for you, you know. And there would be nights where I'd be like, do you want to have dinner? Do you want to go out and do something? And he'd be like, oh, actually I'm going to see a show with Carly. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
Who dat?
Who dat? And I remember – he just started spending more and more time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when it was, but I remember I went over one day and I think I was just really sad and just felt really like alone. Maybe I was hormonal.
It was like the 21st or 22nd of February because it was a week before your birthday.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yep.
You miss calendar. Yeah, you've got all of the bloody dates in your head.
No, actually, I think it was after that because
for your birthday, he took you out to Hog's Breath.
He did.
That's when you... chucked a tanty.
He took me out to dinner, which is beautiful. He always just made the biggest deal out of me and my birthdays, any occasion really. And he pretty much said something like, it's been 6 months since you've been out of the house. Are you planning on coming home? And I didn't know. I said, I don't know what I want. So it wasn't fair on me to put that expectation that he would wait for me.
Were you on the scene at all? Was it at this point?
So, yeah, that conversation was Valentine's Day 2020 because he had a conversation with me that day as well. And he said, I've spoken to Michelle. I asked her if there is any chance that she will come back into my life. He said I needed to give her one opportunity to say, yes, we'll get back together. And he said, Michelle said, no. I'm moving on. And Jared said, okay, well then I've met someone. And
so I knew that they were hanging out and I knew it was Carly. But there was some, that incident where I went over and he was asleep and I just let myself in the house. And, he said, I have something to tell you. I'm like, what? And he's like, I'm in love with Carly. And that broke my heart. It did because he takes love very seriously. He doesn't say things that he does not mean. So for him to say that he is no longer in love with me, I know that he means it. And so I accepted that and I was like, okay. And it was upsetting. So
nice to hear, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And so like I left and I had to process that. But I was like, what can I do? You know? There were instances where prior to that I got tonsillitis and where I was living didn't have any aircon, so I would stay there for a couple of nights. And I remember one particular day, Jared's like, this is before he's fallen in love with Carly. Mm-hmm. He probably was already in love with her but just didn't know it at the time.
Mm.
So he's like, oh, I just got like a message from Carly and she wants to know if, you know, I want to go to sushi. And I'm just like, sure, do whatever you want. Like, you know, it's up to you. And so he's like, okay, cool. And I had to go to the chemist and I'm like, oh, I'm going to pass the sushi place.
Aww.
So I was like trying to kind of sneak past.
And Jared's like, hey, Michelle, come in.
Oh, no.
And I was like, so that was when we first met. That was like
So
January, February 2020.
So that's, yeah. So I actually met you at Sunnybank one night as well.
No, you didn't. You gave me side eye and then you left.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to deny that. Yeah. But I think that was before you and Jared got together, because he was still introducing me as his wife.
Right.
Like, this is my wife, Michelle. And then Carly came along and I was like, I'm not down for it. So I just ended up leaving because, yeah, it was just a little bit awkward.
We weren't dating then.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And so I'm going to the chemist to try and get some stuff and I then meet Carly. And so I don't even – it was a little bit of a blur because it was a little bit – of a surprise and a bit of a shock and I wasn't ready for it and I was sick and...
No one wants to run into an ex when they're sick full stop, let alone if they're on a date with somebody. Like, even if you don't really care about them or don't want to date them anymore, you want to be looking hot when that happens.
And Liz, do you reckon there's a little part, not for everyone, this isn't, I'm not putting this on anyone or everyone. Do you reckon there's a little part of you after breakup where you're like, no, but you were mine. Like,
there
and
is.
You're like, you're trying to eat your cake and have it too, where you want to go your own way and leave.
But
this
it's comforting
behind,
knowing that somebody
but
still loves
no,
you.
No, hang on, you're still absolutely. You're still mine. Like, you're still, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I never thought about that to a degree, but like, every now and again it did pop into my head, like, he's my husband, I married him.
Yeah, he's still mine.
And so same. We then got to Bastille Day. So Jared and I are having these Mondates. So I'd be like, how's Carly? And he'd...
She would, because Jared would come home and be like, Michelle says hi. I'm like, what is Michelle actually saying?
Did she
He's
really?
Like, oh, this food is for you. I'm like, is it or is it your leftovers to bring home? He's like...
So you were aware that there was a little bit of tension on that side and you were
absolutely.
Like, no
Jared
tension
so
here.
Honest. Yeah, I'm fine.
But I honestly was weirded out myself. I'm like, why is she okay with this?
Because again, I was too. As someone who was her best friend at the time, I was like, I'm sorry, your husband is where with who every Monday? What do you mean he goes on a date with his ex-wife every Monday? What do you mean?
I mean, like, I had to understand that at that point they had been best friends for 12 years and they didn't end their relationship with animosity. So I had no reason to dislike this woman.
But you knew.
I had no reason to feel threatened.
I think what's confusing me, right, is that you were aware of the fact that he literally still felt enough for her to say, it's been 6 months, are you coming home?
Yeah.
And you were still okay with that. Like, I get that he went, okay, we're moving forward from that point
on. He needed that closure in order for us to start anything. He said, look, I need... For my mind, he said, I married Michelle. I need to know that there is absolutely no chance that she will come home.
He does seem like a very, I made a vow and I need to stick by my word
absolutely.
Kind of 100%. Person.
When we first started dating, he was still wearing his wedding band from when
Yowza.
He married Michelle.
No.
And he said, look, I'm not comfortable to take this off yet. And I went, that's fine, in your own time. About a week later, it came off.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he was like, you know what?
I would have fucking run for the hills if I were you.
When he realized that he was in love with me and that we had a relationship, he was like, it is inappropriate for me to wear this now. Bye-bye.
He's very, very respectful like that.
Right.
And I love that about him because, you know, he did hurt my feelings, but I ended the relationship.
So how did you go from... How's Carly? To, oh my God, can we have some wine and cheese? What's happening, girly? Like, how did we,
okay,
how did
Bastille
that happen?
Day. Bastille Day happened, which is a tradition that we now have every year. But a friend of ours, Jared, and I would just go to Bastille Day.
Mm-hmm.
It started off with Peg's pie.
Pegs, yeah.
And then we expanded it to Jared as well. And then now it's extended to Carly. And so we went to this amazing restaurant that's no longer in Logan, unfortunately, the White House of Waterford, and it was just elegant and beautiful and the food was amazing. And Jared would always talk so positively about Carly.
Mm-hmm.
And me knowing Jared as the man that he is, with a lot of honesty and integrity, he would not have chosen somebody terrible for himself.
And you're like, he married me, so he must have good taste.
I'm a bit spicy, but I was okay. But like knowing the man that he is, he would never allow somebody toxic into his life. Mm-hmm. And so he would tell me stories about Carly and the things that, you know, he was willing to share. Like he was very protective of Carly, very protective of their relationship. If I'd made a snide comment or was a little bit sarcastic, he shut it down. And that I respected that a lot about him. And
I did
like,
a nice thing that day. So
you did. You absolutely did.
So Jared had prepaid for lunch. Mm-hmm. So with Bastille Day, it's a French restaurant. You have to book and pay in advance. Mm-hmm. The three of them were going out for lunch. Jared goes to his car. Nothing.
Right.
I had plans to go and see my ex-husband and my dogs that day because I wanted to see my dogs and catch up with Michael.
Are we allowed to use his name or do we need to bleep that?
No, that's fine.
Okay, just checking. Just checking.
I had to think about that for a second.
The car wouldn't turn over.
Yeah, car wouldn't turn over. I got lost for a second. Car wouldn't turn over. And I went, look, I will text and say I can't come because I've got something else happening. You take my car and go to lunch. And he was like, are you sure? But you've had these plans all week and you really wanted to see your dogs. I'm like, look, it's fine. I can go tomorrow. It's not the end of the world. You have prepaid for three people to go and have a three-course French lunch. Mm-hmm. Please don't miss out on that. Mm-hmm. Here's my car keys. Off you go. I'll wait for the RACQ man. So I did. And I think Pegs came and picked you up and then you all went to the restaurant. And about half an hour later, I get a message from Michelle.
Well, I told Jared that I wanted to meet her. Mm-hmm. Because
like properly meet her, not just awkwardly be called into a sushi restaurant when you're sick.
100% wanted to meet her properly to have a conversation and to learn about her. Because if the man that I spent so much of my life with is in love with this girl, she's got to be good. Mm. She's got to be quality. And, you know, he wouldn't settle for somebody that couldn't love him the way that Carly loves him. And I saw that. Mm. And I saw that in the way that they spent time together. I would see the socials and they just look so happy. And I realized that, you know, I love Jared in my own way, but I couldn't love him the way that Carly loved him and the way that he needed to be loved. And so I was like, full respect, I want to meet Carly. And so
the message that I've just got it up on my phone. My first message Michelle ever sent me was,
okay, go.
Thank you so much, lovely, for loaning Jared your car. It's taken away your time with the puppies and I really appreciate that. Give the RACQ man a kiss for me, but only if he's hot.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Because then don't. Oh, wait. Never mind. Corona. And that was her first message.
So, and that was really lovely. And so, you know, Jared was like, okay, we've just got to go to Aldi first and pick up some stuff. So I thought that was translation for pretty much Carly's freaking out a little bit. She's probably going to like run around and clean up.
So Jared texted me, Michelle wants to meet you. We'll be home in 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, fine. Can you make it 45 so I can maybe put some pants on and like straighten up the house a little bit? And he's like, yeah, cool. I'll go to Aldi and get some chocolate. I'm like, you could get dishwashing powder, but chocolate is fine. That is fine.
But so meeting, but having sort of a proper introduction with Michelle didn't faze you coming at like
no, not at all.
Dropped on you. No?
Jared had a gig that night and I said to Michelle, do you want to come and we'll have some wines and chat and have dinner?
Yeah.
And so you stayed and you were in that cute little black dress and those high heels. You look so hot in that. And we went out that night and had drinks and danced and listened to music. It was a good time.
May I check in with Elizabeth at this point? Yes. Just quickly, darling, how are you feeling over there?
I don't get it. I'm so confused.
Your arms are crossed.
Look, I just, there would have been a little bit of, okay, can I ask, so when Jared said, Michelle wants to meet you, we're coming over, were you at Jared's, now your house?
Yes.
And were you living there at the time or just hanging out there while you were waiting?
No, I was living there. Right. The RACQ men had recently left. I was watching Formula One on Netflix, I think. I was just like relaxing on the couch, just watching cars go around, and Jared was like, Michelle wants to meet you. We'll be there in half an hour. I'm like, okay, I'll put pants on and maybe run a comb through my hair. And yeah, she got there and I had no reason to dislike this woman. And I think it was about time that we met, because by this point it had been probably 5 months.
You weren't nervous or even a little bit?
No.
See, even if I didn't feel weird about the situation, I would still be nervous in that I would want, if they were friends, I would want her to like me, and I would be nervous in that way. I would be nervous that you wouldn't like me.
No, I understand that.
I was like, it doesn't matter if she likes me or not, because I'm in a relationship with Jared and that's my priority. I always said to Jared, it would be a bonus if Michelle and I could be friends, because it means that his social life would be so much easier, because then everyone could come and he wouldn't have to do separate things with separate people. And that's exactly what it turned out to be, where like we constantly are going out.
And it's great. Like, I never thought that I would have this sort of relationship with Carly, but I hoped for that, because Jared
definitely
meant so much to me, and that any woman that he would see as a potential wife, I would want her to be beautiful.
Mate, you picked my engagement ring.
I did.
Oh my god.
What?
Oh
my we went shopping for that.
I'm getting uncomfortable. I'm
my so teeth hurt. That is so sweet that my teeth fucking hurt. Like, I don't.
About four or five months after that, Michelle was like, let's go out and get our nails done and have a boozy lunch. I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh, we had
Saturday
cocktails.
Let's
amazing
do it. Got our nails done. She went, let's go try an engagement rings. That's for fun. Because she just started a new relationship, and obviously Jared and I were really secure. And I was like, why not? And I found this exact ring that I'm wearing.
Wowee.
Yeah. And I showed eyes. Michelle. And I've got a video of Michelle going, yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
So Michelle took the details of the ring on a little card that you get from the jewelers and gave that card to Jared and said, if in the future this is what you want,
no pressure,
this is the exact ring that she chose today.
Jesus Christ, that's fucking thoughtful.
And about 3 months later, that's the one that I got.
See, he pulls this face. You'll know it. It's kind of like,
yeah,
where he's like, you're right, but I'm just not going
to
say anything.
Yeah, when he's trying not to smile and
so
he's
poor poker face, maybe.
Yeah,
he's got to tell.
Pretty much.
Shitty poker face.
So, I just, because of the person that Carly is, such a kind, beautiful person that is like, how can I help you? You know, how can I help you?
But that's your nature with a lot of people. Like,
yeah, but that's your nature too. And so,
oh my God,
I could see.
It's a tennis match of compliments.
No, but you're so sweet. No, that you're so sweet. Stop it. No,
I think it's just been an absolute blessing that I've been able to add like another member to our family. Like Michelle, like we have Christmas at my parents every year.
Yep.
Last year it was at my brother's house. Michelle comes to my family Christmas.
Yeah.
Like,
what do your family think about that?
They think it's wonderful.
Oh, they love me.
Lovely.
They really do. She calls my dad.
And I call mum mum. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh yeah, happy birthday, mummy, today.
Oh, anyway. If you're listening.
But I think it's been, 4 years? And at the end of 2022, I asked you to be August's godmother.
Mm.
So August is my two-year-old. He's my eldest.
Ugh.
Emily is my baby. She's 11 months. And Michelle is the godmother to both of them.
Yep.
It's just, I knew that it would be super important, because Michelle obviously was never blessed with children, and she treats the kids like they came out of her, honestly.
So
I love them so much.
But I wish you would discipline them more. You let them get away with whatever.
That's the godmother's prerogative. That's the rule of godmothers.
It's exactly what my mum says as well. That's a grandmother's prerogative.
Yeah. No, aunties get the same spoiling regulations. Like,
that's
just the rule.
You came over last week and gave my son nuggets and chocolate, and he was like, this is the best day ever. Thanks, auntie.
Yeah, I know. Mummy went down to go because they forgot some of our potato and gravy, and he just came up and started pointing at my plate. So I just was like, chip. Chip, chocolate, chip,
Do you want forget more? The blueberries that mummy gave you. Chips.
Yeah, sorry, Carly. You're not going to win.
I'm not even sorry, because these are the beautiful memories that my son will have. Mm-hmm. That, like, his Auntie Ezra gives him fried food, and Auntie Mossy gives him cuddles and chocolate and plays cards with him. Like, I am a massive believer of you choose your family.
Mm. Yes, massive believer.
I have an incredibly well-functioning biological genetic family, but I've also chosen some beautiful people to be a part of my village, and the two women in this room are included in that little village.
Stop.
You were a bridesmaid at my wedding, for goodness
I know,
sake.
And I'd only known you for a couple of years, so I was just like, what the fuck? But instantly it was, I've said it a billion times again.
Yeah.
I just met Carly and was like, yeah, this person, we're going to be like, I saw you in your bloody fucking, what do you call them, Wimple from The Sound of Music. Dressed as a nun, right. And I was like, this girl.
The most comfortable costume I've ever worn in my
life. Mine was
life.
The worst. I looked like Mrs. fucking Doubtfire. It was really awful. Did. I was the housekeeper in Sound of Music, and they put me in the ugliest fucking costume.
I was in the audience. Worst. I remember this. Yeah,
it was so bad.
Does this work because of, I'm not giving him all the credit, but because of Jared, not because solely, but because he's such a decent human being. Like,
he has a rule, Tom, that so we call it the no fuckwit rule. Mm. He wants to surround himself with good people.
Yeah.
And he will kind of realize very quickly if the kind of person is someone he wants to welcome into his little village. Mm-hmm. And so we've got, you know, a nice little collection of people. He collects lovely people. I knew very quickly that he was a lovely person, and I think that he's intelligent and balanced, and this episode has very quickly become how good is Jared.
I'm just like, he's gonna listen to this and be like, oh yeah.
It might be with merit, because I've never met the chap, but I've heard a lot of satellite reports from about this man.
He's good people.
And it seems,
look, he's not an angel. I will put it out there. He's not an angel.
Nobody is. I'm not.
But
nobody is.
In a world where it's very easiest for us to go, such and such over there, oh, he's a great guy. I think it sounds like Jared is a great guy. Like,
I don't think this would work. This relationship between you two would work if any of the three of you were a bit of a red flag of a human, honestly. Mm. I think the fact that you were able – see, I'm just projecting now, because I would be jealous as fuck.
That was my hypothesis.
Right?
Like, we're all listening.
I'm projecting. But I would be jealous if I was you, and you did a really good job of going, well, actually, you know, Jared has a really good head on his shoulders, so he wouldn't pick someone that's –
correct.
You know, and then you just never fucking being flustered about anything. I don't fucking believe you, but we're going to – I still think there has to have at least been –
we'll find something.
Okay, for the first few months, I was incredibly intimidated by Michelle.
I knew it. I knew it.
Because of how beautiful she is.
Yeah, right? Like, there's got to be at least a little bit of I want her to like me, or how do I – come after that, you know?
I couldn't understand why Jared would find me attractive when this is his ex-wife.
I 100% understood why he found you attractive.
Yeah, but like,
you're a beautiful woman, and you're kind, and you have all the qualities that Jared...
Girl, you are half Filipino with golden eyes. You need to shush.
You're both fabulous, okay?
In the Ghost of Boyfriends past group therapy group of us together, just so they can understand.
Why can't we just accept
it? We just imagine in our heads and hear what you have said about each other in this episode.
So Jared's a genuine man, and, you know... none of this would have worked if Carly wasn't the person that she is. Because
I'd have gone in and gone, nah, fuck that. You're not going to have dinner with your ex every week. I want your time. Mm. Then honestly, I doubt Jared and I would be married right now.
And neither of you brought any of the aforementioned societal baggage to this. It doesn't sound like you either of you were suspicious or brought anything of like, no, that's not... we don't do that. We don't hang out with our exes' partners. We don't do... You didn't bring any of that baggage to the table. You're just like, yeah, he's a good guy. You're good. You're cool. I'm pretty cool.
One of my exes came to our wedding, and I've done shows with him and hung out with him socially a few times, and Jared doesn't have an issue with it. So I think it's because Jared and I are very secure in our relationship and our marriage, and I trust him 1,000%, and he's the same with me. Like, there is never going to be any sort of infidelity. We are sometimes brutally honest with each other. And that's the thing. Like, if you ever tell me anything, you know that Jared probably knows. Unless you say it is very important that nobody else knows this. There are still some secrets that my husband does not know.
So I tell them pretty much everything.
Yeah, I know everything about you.
So, you know,
we've got a three-way group chat that we use every single day just to communicate. So. Yeah,
nuts. I think you're nuts. So this is the part of the podcast where we normally talk about what you learnt over the course of both your relationship ending, your relationship beginning, and both of your relationships with each other beginning and flourishing. So are there things that you've learnt along the way that you'd like to share?
I think for me, I've learnt a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was expecting back then. Like a Hollywood ending for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything is a fairy tale.
Nope.
And
you are the queen of making the same mistake again and again and again, though.
Here we go. Here's the goss. Spill the tea. I am too, girl. Don't worry about it. Like
walking red flag right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm okay. But yeah, look, I've learned a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to be patient with myself and with the mistakes that I make. I go to Carly and Jared for guidance all the time because I do doubt myself a lot, and I do have, you know, issues with my own confidence, and I have insecurities as well, but they're my family and they're my rock, and I know that it doesn't matter what I'm going through, they might have to tell me some hard truths, which I accept. You can't offend me, really.
Sometimes I have to take off my friend hat and put on my therapist hat and go, all right, is this the best choice that you could be making for you? But
That's great.
I think all humans do that.
Yeah. It's it's good and healthy to have that relationship with people.
You don't want to be surrounded by yes people all of the time. Mm. Like, that's not support. Support someone that's just going to say yes to everything that you do isn't support. It's just, I don't know.
Michelle will be
bullshit.
Brutally honest with me.
Yeah.
If I ask her a question, but like, even something as simple as, like, oh, I really like this bag. Should I get this one or this one? That is the response that I will get. It is ugly. Why would you want to put that on your body?
But there have been times where, you know, she's messaged me privately to say, look, what do you think about this for Jared? Or what if I did this? Or, you know, and I'd be like, to be honest with you, this is a, you have to, don't surprise him with this.
Yeah.
You need to ask him if this is what he wants, because he might turn around and go, you've just wasted your money. And he's not shy about hurting your feelings in that way.
Yeah.
Carly's very, very patient with Jared. And
I think we are with each other, but that's just our relationship.
Oh, he has grown incredibly. And
I agree with that. He used to be very, very impatient and very short.
And
he
I'm
would
not
say when he was with Michelle towards the end of their marriage that he would become quite short with her.
He was angry.
Yeah.
I get that.
And I mean, both of you grew apart.
Yeah, I tried to be patient with him.
He's very understanding now.
Yeah, he is. And we even had a little bit of a discussion around that today in our group chat.
Did we?
Yeah.
Scroll back. Get the receipt.
Oh, you were working. Sorry. You
can Sorry, I actually work at my job, Michelle.
Sorry about it.
Carly, what have you learnt over the last 4 years in getting along with your husband's ex, essentially?
You know what I've learnt? How weirded people are, weirded out people are about this.
Yeah.
Like it's a thing where, so I was out a couple of weeks ago and bumped into a couple that have known Michelle and Jared for like 10 years, and they mentioned it's really lovely that you're all friends.
No one
with
means
each other.
The word lovely. They're like,
exactly.
They mean weird.
Yeah, they said lovely, and I'm like,
you don't think that
been lovely.
I know you both, and I still think it's weird. Like, I can't fathom a world where that would happen. But then again, maybe it's because I date dickheads.
Is it? But it. So why is this? Are Carly and Michelle and Jared like the 0.5% of the population that can make this happen with these circumstances? Or have we overridden the sort of societal mood of when you break up with someone, you're meant to go back to your friends and bag them and say, that's it, I'm never... It, like,
I think if you had a garbage breakup, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. But if it you seems ended to be that things... any breakup has to be... I don't know.
Tainted. I just would feel intimidated, like you said. I would feel intimidated and a little bit jealous and a little bit like, but what if those feelings are never gone? Because my baggage is I get cheated on.
I know Jared well enough to know that when he says that he's in love, he's 100% there.
Yeah.
So I knew that when he said I'm in love with Carly, he was not in love with me anymore. And I know while he loved me and I loved him, he's with Carly now.
Yeah.
And I 100% accepted that because I didn't want to risk losing him out of my life. Like I spent such a long time with him. Why would I all of a sudden want to do a backflip and pretend he didn't exist to me? Like he's supported me emotionally, financially, spiritually. He would constantly be like, you want to try to do this, then go for it. Like you do
we
that.
We still support you emotionally.
Yeah, no, thanks.
There's another thing that I have learned actually, how annoyed I got. So I moved into the house that Jared and Michelle bought together as
a
married
I was going to ask you questions about the house.
So Jared carried Michelle over the threshold of this house
how
when
did
they
you
bought
deal
it.
Deal with that.
It's weird, especially when I moved in. And sorry, but your shit was everywhere. And to be honest, some of it still is. But anyway, I've been working on it. Every time Michelle comes over just to pop in for dinner
a crate of shit
I put something in the backseat of her car. And she's like, oh, I don't want it. And I'm like, oh, I'll put it in the bin. No, 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 don't put it in the bin. Well, you take it or it goes in the bin because it doesn't live here anymore. So, and that was the thing. Like I would open up a cupboard and there would be like Michelle's wine glasses. And I'm like, are you going to take these? And so I did the thing. I made Jared buy new mattresses for both beds.
Mm. Yes.
Fair cool.
I made Jared buy all new sheets.
Fair cool. Yep.
Because I was not going to be in a relationship with someone and sleeping in
you
a bed.
You were weirder about the house than you were about the woman.
I know. How weird is that though?
That's why I think that's why I had to that's why this whole time I've been thinking there's got to be something because I know how weird you were about the house and going this isn't my house this is their house and I'm like you live there you're married you know you painted a wall it's your house now Did you ever feel strange that Carly moved into that house?
I actually didn't. Like the main thing was that Jared's found this amazing woman that loves him in a way that I never
you
could.
Felt a bit weird about the wall painting.
The wall
though.
Was weird because Dean had painted that for like essentially a wedding gift. So I had this this burgundy reddish wall that I was going to put a mirror up and get photos of the people that I love. So it sounds so sentimental.
No, it matters. Yeah.
But my plan was to, you know, put pictures up of me and Jared and my family and all our beautiful friends. And so when I looked in the mirror, I was surrounded by love. That was like the sentiment that
really
I had.
Cute.
And so.
And Carly went, fuck this burgundy wall. No.
See, I didn't know that Carly had this sensory thing.
So synesthesia, where I feel emotions through colours. Yes.
I didn't know that.
So sitting in a lounge room with a great big red wall.
Yes.
I would always feel a little bit anxious.
Mm. See, my work uniform is red. My wallet's red. My phone case is red. Everything about me in my life, like every red surrounds me everywhere. That's why I loved it. Mm. I didn't know that she had this sensory thing. Mm. So when she painted the wall, she made a comment and I misinterpreted that in a major way. And I felt sad that I thought that whenever she looked at that wall, it was just a reminder of my marriage to Jared. That was what was in my head. And she's like, no, that's not the case at all. Mm. And then she completely explained herself. And then I'm like, I get it now. But yeah, that made me sad because I was like, oh, I thought that we were like all, I thought we were okay. And
but you can be okay and still feel weird about stuff. Like I still remember even with the ex that I'm no longer with, like he had a lot of things that his ex had given him that he – you know, like, so he had this is one thing that really pissed me off. He had this photo, he'd done this photo session with his ex and it was him on one
photo and her on the other, and the two photos were looking at each other. And then when I moved in with him, he just replaced her photo with my photo.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a swap it's not, in, swap out no, photo, is it?
No. So there are little
replace
things that
his
I'm just
photo like, too thing.
Yeah, I actually nearly smashed it when I left the house.
But oh, accident.
You nearly did.
I know, I think, there's so many things I nearly did. But yes, that's
I think my lesson learned is that people in your partner's, your current partner's past can matter to them. They can...
They helped shape who they are as humans.
I had a 7-year relationship before my current relationship, and I would be doing my ex a disservice if I never talked about fond memories with her in front of my partner. Like, I saw a lovely photo online, and it was a wife taking a photo, of her current husband at her... at his ex-wife's grave, saying, she mattered to him, so of course I'm going to drive him to here and leave your flowers. So people in your partner's past can be important and can matter. You don't have to be sort of on edge about everyone, I suppose.
And look, I've learnt that I should probably not say it's so fucking weird all the time.
Just replace the swear word.
It's lovely. It's so lovely, you guys.
But I know what lovely means, Elizabeth.
No, here's the thing. I've learnt that a lot of the time I'm projecting a lot of my baggage onto other people's relationships when I judge them through this podcast, and I do it a lot. I'm still going to do it because that's what this podcast is. But I think it's important to know that if you do have a good relationship with an ex, that they, exactly as you said, they have helped shape you. And there's a lot of, I guess, not my last ex, he's garbage, but the one before that, a little less garbage. But there's a lot of, we spent, 6-7 years together, and there are a lot of things of who I am today that were because I dated him. You know.
We grow from the experiences we have and the people
that we meet.
Because
the girl that he married, I initially didn't like her because she fucking hated me.
That's a reason to dislike someone.
Was like, she hates me, so I have to hate her back. Having seen them and having seen how long they've been married for, I'm like, oh, that works. We didn't work, but I get how that works. I really do.
See, Liz, you go.
My ex-husband has since remarried to a wonderful woman, and it absolutely made me realize that, oh, we didn't work, but they absolutely work.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Liz, I would say you're in the majority of our readers listening at home that have knee-jerked to a negative to hearing this story. Hang on, that's weird. What the fuck?
What are you hiding? Where's the tea?
So I don't want to hear from you readers that think this is strange. You're in the majority. I want to hear from the readers that are like, no, this makes sense. I've done this in my past. I'm friends with my partner's ex or
whatever. How do you go when kids are in the, shared kids are in the relationship as well? Are you still friends? How do you co-parent? I want to hear all the stories of people who both get on with their exes and get on with their exes' new partners, or if you've had an amusing anecdote of how you've met the ex's new partner, like they were really sick and he waved them into a sushi restaurant and snot dripping down her face.
Carly and Michelle took it to such a level. Michelle, as we know, Michelle's a godmother of Carly's children. Like
she's my go-to babysitter.
That's an extreme. Negatively here. If you at home have got to that kind of level with in relation to this, let us know. I want to fascinated by this because it's not a story or a scenario that you come along in the wild much, is it?
No, really? Certainly not one where there's no, there's no children that have to be co-parented and you still are happy to refer to each other as family.
Yes,
I think that's quite remarkable and wonderful. I think you're both wonderful. This has been enough of a love-in, so I'm not going to go too gushy about it. We all know how I feel about Hearts and Flowers. But if you have a similar story, please write in ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com. Or if you would like to be a guest on one of our main episodes, you can go to thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast and fill in the form. Gives you a couple of dot points to fill in about what the story is about so that we can write back to you and say, hey, we'd love to have you on the podcast. In the meantime, we are going to put all of Carly's other episodes in the show notes. Michelle, thank you so much for spending your
first time here.
It's been absolutely wonderful having you both. And please write in. Tell us, are you friends with an ex's new partner and why?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.